107 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Sean Sullivan, live from Washington, D.C. at the Fair's 13th annual Hold Their Feet to the Fire, Fair Federation for American Immigration Reform. And now we bring in Sean Sullivan. Sean, how's it going out there?
Hey, man, it's good. Another beautiful day in the nation's capital. And it's always an electric atmosphere here, obviously, when Congress is in session. But when there's the impeachment discussion going on, it's even more active. And so we have that intermingled with the ongoing discussion with all the people they brought out to talk about immigration reform in the United States. So we'll have more of that discussion coming up on the midday show today, and a lot of guests, and we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But it is also a Thursday, and it's our chance to hang. It's our Robert Day. Of course, we have Captain Bobby Abrascato, and then coming up a little bit, we have Rob Holbert. But right now, Robert Kennedy Jr. of Kennedy for Alabama, that you can check out right here on FM Talk 106.5. And a lot to talk about this morning. Robert, good morning.
Good morning, Sean. How are you holding up?
Man, I'm good. I'm good here. I'm hotel life is suiting me right now, so it's good. Let's talk about the story. The story out
there's
there.
Only one right now.
Yeah, there's some other stories you use to fill in like the C and the D block of an hour, but really, yeah, for A and B block stuff, there's one story, and that is this discussion of impeachment. I want to take a second here to talk about the mechanics of this, because I think that is important. That, you know, we've talked about this before, that you have the House basically serves right as the grand jury.
That's correct.
They are the, you know, they, and then the Senate serves the jury or the deciding body. So, and I mean, we all have to go back to our civics class and get reminded of that. But that means to me, this is going to be for political effect. If this move for impeachment goes through, it goes to the Senate and it dies there.
Why did you say it's for political effect?
Because if the goal would be in doing this to remove the president from the White House, to remove Donald J. Trump as president of the United States, it's not going to happen.
I think the chances of it happening are actually fairly slim.
Okay, so we agree on that.
We do.
Okay, so because a lot of people go, "Oh, what's next?" And it would be Pence, and then Pelosi move. I said, "Yo, you're getting ahead of yourself here, because it'd be the politics of the Senate. I don't see, unless there's something major." And you know, you look at what happened in the situation with Nixon. Even though they didn't go with the impeachment, they had basically checked the votes, and enough Republicans defected on Nixon that he knew he couldn't make it through. So he was out.
Hey, Sean,
in this case, I don't think it's like that.
I was going to say, let's circle back just a second. So a few weeks ago, we were having a conversation about the governor of Alabama and what happened as a result of the blackface incident. And you asked the question whether or not I thought she was going to resign as a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the scenario that I set up, or the criteria I talked about, was you have to have unification throughout the Democratic caucus, and then the Republican caucus would have to crack. And mm-hmm. if those two things came into concert with each other, then there was a possibility that she would resign. Well, you're basically in the same situation here. You have a growing number of Democrats that are calling for the impeachment. And then you have some rumblings, not necessarily public, but you're having some rumblings that are starting to suggest that the Senate may have some problems on the Republican side. Now, you had two things that happened that are worthy of note. The first was that unanimous consent was given to require the Justice Department basically to provide that whistleblower information.
Mm-hmm.
And then in addition to that, you had two senators, first Mitt Romney, you can kind of discount him a little bit, and more recently Senator Ben Sasse, that started saying, wait a minute, there may be a there. Now, we're still a long way away from getting to the number that you would have to have in order to convict in the sentence and ultimately remove from office. But you are seeing some of those rumblings start to move at this point in time.
Okay, so, and I'll go back to Ben Sasse, because that's been the one overnight. And I think what I'm hearing from Ben Sasse is actually kind of maybe where I am. I'm always on this kind of intermediary island where nobody else is. I think what he's saying is, hey, let's look into this a little bit more. I don't think you hear him beating on a table saying it's time to impeach the president of the United States.
No, he's not. But he did say that there is a there. Right, because apparently he's one of the ones who's actually seen the underlying information, and it was enough of a concern to at least say, hey, let's take a step back.
Well, and I think that's fine. I think that's due diligence of the information, and you've got McGuire's testimony going on right now, which was interesting, that spin that he was, you know, not being allowed to speak freely or whatever, and to have him step up.
Absolutely.
In fact, I am, and I'm going to. So there's a, I think people have run, as always, to their corners and already decided one thing or another. I think they're
and that's what we talk about all the time, about the distinction between the real world and the political world.
Right. And this distinction right now is the political world is the Godzilla
through here.
I mean, it's the Godzilla. So what comes of this, and why I started off by saying, you know, let's talk about the civics of this, is people, and of course it's social media and looking other places, have already moved this on to a point that they got the Polk's van out in front of the White House. And I think they, you know, I think they're a little ahead of themselves. I think we need to stop and listen to testimony. I think we need to listen to what McGuire says. I think we need to listen to what may come out of further investigations here. I'll tell you this, like I said yesterday, I don't see this as impeachable. What I've heard, do I think it's becoming? No. I think the behavior of Vice President Biden wasn't becoming. I don't think this conversation, because it was not directly
quid pro quo. Sean, hold on a second.
Let
me stop. You're hitting me with a lot of stuff right now, but there's one thing I want to isolate, because I think I might be able to get some consensus on this.
Okay.
So let's just put impeachment aside for the time being, to just assume that it's not on the table. From reading the transcripts that you read yesterday, I'm assuming that you read those, did you? From reading the transcript, do you believe that the president's actions were appropriate, even if not impeachable? Do you think it was appropriate?
That's what I said, and that's what I just said. I don't think it's actions on both parts. I don't think
becoming. I'm not to the Biden part yet. I'm going to talk about that in a second.
I don't think it's actions becoming. No, because you have to be beyond reproach. I don't think it's impeachable, though. No.
Okay. And I think that's an important distinction as well. So when we come off of the saga that was the previous Mueller investigation, and then the amount of time and effort and energy and money that was put into that,
and
we know that nothing was proven with regards
to
collusion,
yeah.
Right? But there was definitely some questions about attempted obstruction, right? For that to happen, and then the day after the testimony, for the president to be on the phone ostensibly soliciting support, I don't think there was a quid pro quo. I didn't see that in the transcript. But definitely soliciting support for something that is your domestic political adversary, that in and of itself is problematic.
You know, and you can go through, and you can absolutely, if you're fair-minded, look through that. Even if you are a supporter of the president, I can look through that and go, you know, you probably shouldn't have said it that way. You probably shouldn't have said, but to say that there
should have said it that way or said it anyway.
But what I'm saying is you're trying to, the next step is saying this is what he meant by this. This is what he wanted to accomplish by that. Because it can be spun around just like it has.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody can say this is somebody who is actively interested in the corruption issues in Ukraine.
But Sean, come on, Sean. I'm doing a shoulder shrug right now. We know the reason for that was for the domestic ammunition that it would allow the president to hit Vice President Biden over the head with. We know, you and I know that. And we can talk about the Vice President Biden part with his son Hunter as well, because there's some things there that are problematic to me also.
Well, that's one of the questions about this issue is, if, you know, and it's the whataboutism that tires me out.
Right.
And it's a big deal for defenders of the president, do whataboutism. So I just don't like it, because I think it says, okay, well, if they did it too. You know, I think we all learned that question when we were kids. Well, why were you, you know, throwing dirt clods at the car? Well, the other kids were doing it. Doesn't matter. But at the same time, it does bring up a bigger question of we may be just getting a little glimpse into what is, sadly enough, the way the game's played, right? And that's been played by many others.
Right. And this is the part where I wanted to circle back to the Biden side of the ledger, is when you ask the root question of why would a company in the Ukraine choose Hunter Biden to be on their board of directors at whatever gajillion dollars a year he was being paid to do that, given his experience set. And so you can very logically conclude that someone's trying to curry favor with someone who is the current Vice President of the United States. This is the same argument that you can make for all the substantive stuff that the Clinton Foundation did good around the world. There are still people who are contributing to that because they believe the future president may be Secretary Clinton, right? That this is us operating in the real world. But that doesn't mean that anything in the investigation sense has suggested that Vice President Biden conducted himself in a manner that was inappropriate, because there was a whole wave of folks throughout the administration who were saying this particular prosecutor in the Ukraine was corrupt.
Now, this is one of these things where one group says this prosecutor was corrupt, and one group says the prosecutor was fighting corruption. You know, I don't know enough about Ukrainian. You know, I read the tales of it. I would like to get some nonpartisan angle on this of that person in the first place, right? So I hear the music coming up, so we'll come right back and talk about this more on the backside of the news break. Of course, it's your chance to hear more of this discussion tomorrow night with Robert Kennedy Jr. Kennedy for Alabama. We are live at the Phoenix Park Hotel in Washington. It's Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Be right back. Thank you, Kane. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. This segment of the show brought to you by Lightstream. It's a fact, refinancing your credit card balances can lower your interest rate and save you money. And you don't have to be a financial expert to do it. Right now, you can get a credit card consolidation loan from the folks at Lightstream with a rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay. Lower than the average credit card interest rate, which nationally is 19%. Get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are no fees. There are no application fees, no origination fees, no transaction fees, no prepayment penalties. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply, and the online application is so easy, you can apply right from your phone. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. Just for y'all, right now, you can get a special interest rate discount. Now, the only way to get this discount is to go to their website, lightstream.com/Sullivan, my last name. LightstreamSullivan, SULLIV as in Victor, AN. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightstreamSullivan for more information. All right, continuing our discussion, and it's a split broadcast here because Robert Kennedy Jr., Dalton, there in the FM Talk 106.5 studios. I'm here at the Phoenix Park Hotel in Washington for their for FAIR's Hold Their Feet to the Fire conference. So we're doing this linked up. It's working pretty darn good, even though I can't see the faces of my friends. I do want to address a couple things before we get back into this discussion. Number one, your show tomorrow night, Kennedy for Alabama. What's the topic on Friday night show?
So the question of the day is going to be, can an American be a patriot if he or she chooses to protest? And what we're going to dig down into are basically the three different models of protesting. The first one being the silent protest. So think about that as Colin Kaepernick and kneeling during the national anthem. We're going to talk about direct action protest that is non-disruptive. So think about the Waffle House incident in Saraland and the spontaneous protest that happened immediately after that. And then we're also going to talk about the direct action protest that is disruptive. So think about blocking a street, blocking a highway, et cetera, et cetera.
Milkshaking.
What's that?
Milkshaking, where they throwing milkshake on people and...
We probably will not get into milkshaking during the conversation.
That's the most delicious protest. That's the most delicious protest. That's kind of why I focus on it.
Well, I think it's really important for us to have this conversation. And one of the things you and I have talked about a lot is the assumption that, from my perspective as an African-American, that sometimes we are monolithic when, in fact, we are not. And so we're going to have a diverse set of folks in studio, all from Mobile, all graduates of Mobile County Public School System, that are going to have some different perspectives on that. And I think it's going to be a very fruitful conversation, and we look forward to hearing the listening audience call in and participate in the conversation as well.
Don't bring silliness like people have different beliefs as individuals, not because of the color of their skin or their sex. Don't bring that in the mix.
I got to do it, monolithic. Sean. That's the whole reason why I'm on your show.
No, everybody is whatever you're given a set of political ideas by your birth, and that's what you... Okay, yep, I agree with you.
And it's literally the same thing when we talk from a political party perspective as well. That most of the national news that's being generated by Washington or New York City, there's an assumption that all of us, because we have a D behind our name, all think the same, and that's not the case either.
All right. I want to get back into what is probably driving a lot of the R&D conversations in our nation right now, and that is this discussion of impeachment. George's text here said, there is zero wrong with the president trying to investigate the origin of the Russia investigation. Zero. Biden and Obama were crooks and should be investigated. If not the president pushing them, then who? We must learn the full extent of the corruption from the previous administration. So in George's take here, that it was President Trump investigating what was corruption that happened over the 8 years of the Obama administration. He's doing his research in this.
Don't believe it. And I don't think most people believe it either. It's not the what that he's doing. The concept of investigating corruption is a noble cause. It's the why. The reason why he's doing it is to be able to glean the political advantage of being able to reference that in what may be a competitive general election campaign. We know it. It's the same thing, like we said, of Hunter Biden even getting that position. He got the position because someone thought they were going to be able to curry favor as a result of that. We know it. At the end of the day, what we have a responsibility to do is to be on the right side of history. And that's the reason why I think the momentum is going towards impeachment, even though you and I said between the two of us, we think there may be more appropriate ways to hold the president accountable. But this train's left the station.
You know, this is a going to be a thing that may come back up. I was talking yesterday with Jeff Poor on the show. He suggests that he thinks this will happen again. In other words, that this call of impeachment will come up. It'll do nothing in the Senate. President Trump will win re-election, and then in his second term, there will be some other call to impeachment as well. He says he thinks he'll be the first president to have double call for impeachment.
You know, what's interesting is I was trying to trace this back to when it was I thought we really started kind of using all the rules to our political advantage, and I think this goes to when the Republican Party was blocking all of President Obama's nominees for whatever he was nominating for. And then Harry Reid changed the rule, the confirmation standard, taking it from 60 down to, to 50
right.
Plus one. And you can pull that into what ended up happening with the Senate Majority Leader when he blocked President Obama's Supreme Court nominee. And it seems like from that point forward, everything has just been getting ratcheted higher and higher and higher. And so I just hope and pray at some point in time, more rational heads prevail and we start to pull that back. Because all it is right at this point in time is one-upsmanship. But I got to come back to this, Sean, mm-hmm. because this issue of requesting assistance from a foreign adversary is real and it is problematic. And there is some level of accountability that should be in place for that, even if that level of accountability is less than impeachment. I don't think there's any way that the president gets through this without having some accountability.
Keep an eye on it. I think one of the interesting things, and I do agree with you about people, you don't follow what Robert and I are talking about, how many times, whether in state government too, but in our federal government over the last, last 10 years, have you had to like either relearn something you might have forgotten from your government econ class or learn something for the first time in a move that's made in Congress? I mean, how many times we've had to talk about things that are, I don't want to say they're mundane, but they're not something, they haven't been kitchen table political moves. They're things that have been on the books, but they're bringing them out now at a higher and higher pace. There are these things that like, well, you actually, in fact, you can do this because of this subset of this law of the rules of the Senate, or this that governs the House. I mean, or this that governs the executive branch. I agree with you. There's people are digging because you can't. I guess you can't get what you want at the polling place. So we'll take it on another way.
But there's another thing too. As I think, a lot of the Republican Party loyalty to President Trump is transactional. And if you think about the Never Trump movement that was characteristic of the first half of the last presidential primary. It's one thing to love somebody because you really love them. It's another thing to love them because they're doing what you think they ought to do. I think if some more stuff like this potentially comes out, that the president may lose his base of support within the Republican Party.
Well, and with that, I there's maybe some level where that would come. I think that level is a long, long way from where we are right now. But we'll pick this conversation up again next week. And, of course, people check out the show tomorrow. Robert, tell them when to listen.
So you can listen to Kennedy for Alabama at 6 o'clock p.m. on Friday evening on FM Talk 106.5. We'd love to have you listen.
Absolutely. Thank you, man.
Till next time.
Hey, thanks, Kane. 836 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
All right, Dalton. How are you, big guy?
Hey, doing fantastic. So tell me what's going on at the lot in McConnell Automotive. Good deals on Yukons, and, oh, man, those trucks are so awesome.
Yeah, man. You know, right now, Dalton, one of the great things we have happening is 0% on Yukons and Yukon Denali. And if people can do the math, if you're looking at a 4% or 5% interest rate, you can end up saving, I'm talking about $7,000 or $8,000 in interest over the life of your loan. So that doesn't happen but about three times a year. So anybody that's in the Yukon market, you got to make a fast, fast move before the end of the month. And then, man, the truck, you know, the Ram truck is a nice truck. The Ford truck's a nice truck. But nothing has got the tailgate that we do. And, you know, some of the best towing capacities, all these other things. And right now, Dalton, 20% off the truck. And I think the greatest thing about shopping at McConnell is people never surprised or disappointed when they come into the dealership, Dalton, because on our website, McConnellAutomotive.com, if you see a price, we honor it when you come in there. And a lot of people that are listening, y'all know that doesn't happen at a lot of dealerships. You get hassled. And we're just kind of well-known for making things easy and respecting people. So we hope everybody hops on these deals fast, Dalton.
All right. One of the many great things about McConnell Automotive. We appreciate it, Mitch.
Man, y'all have a great day, Dalton.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dolphin Street just east of I-65. And Sean Sullivan right now live from Washington, D.C. at FAIR's annual Hold Their Feet to the Fire event. But it is a Thursday, so like every Thursday, we join with Rob Holbert from Lanyap. Rob, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How are y'all?
We're doing great.
I'm good, although I think I'm about to be in trouble. So Diamond and Silk Security has moved over here. They have moved over here into the edge of my booth. Like, they're in the
Sean,
next
doing
an interview in the next
swamp.
Booth. And, huh?
You're there in the swamp?
Yes, I'm here in the swamp, which is, by the way, the swamp has been delightful, about 10 degrees cooler than home. The nice breeze, I've been enjoying it. So, and that may just be the breeze of impeachment flowing around the district here, but it's a breeze nonetheless. And seriously, I'm just doing. Hold on, I'm doing the show. They're staring me at. It's Diamond and Silk Security.
Can you get?
I'm supposed to be here.
Do we know Diamond and Silk's thoughts on this whole impeachment process? Do you know if they're pro impeachment?
I've heard them. I've heard them as they've talked to other shows here. I think they're defending the president for sure. So I don't know what to do. I mean, Rob, I am torn with discussion of the impeachment proceedings here and your take on it. At the same time, something that's probably of bigger importance to everyday Americans, which I hear even more discussion of this subject than I do impeachment, and that is White Claw.
Yes, exactly.
It's
what takes us back and makes us happy again. You know, think about White Claw.
You know? Tell people what you're talking about that don't know about this stuff. The White Claw that has taken over. I mean, it is. I was at Rouse's the other day, and I've lost 6 or 8 feet of beer space there because these stinking seltzer drink things have taken over.
The fortified seltzer waters, you know, basically like sparkling water with alcohol in it. I got to tell you, I've fallen in love with them. They're great.
Do you feel better that you've admitted that you're drinking seltzer water?
I'm fine.
Do you hold your finger out?
I sit there and drink a mango White Claw in front of you and feel good about it.
Is that your favorite flavor, mango?
I think it is now, Dalton. I really do. I think so.
it's a debate. On your
it's a debate everybody has. You know, you get the variety pack or what I like to call the fantasy pack, and it has... It has a few players in it. It's got one player in there I'm not a big fan of, which is the Black Cherry. But then there's a lot of people who love the Black Cherry. I think it's a little NyQuil-ish for me, but
are
I'll
you,
still
are
drink
you,
it.
What happened to Rob Holbert? Who am I talking to?
This is it. You know, this is it. Sean, I was doing some research on these things, and I have to say I did get a shudder up my spine when I realized that in their genealogy is Zima.
That's exactly, and you write about that in the new Lanyap, and that's, I mean, yeah. I remember those days. You reference all the old, you know, we're the close to the same age. reference the old stuff like the Bartles and James that the Dates always wanted, and then when the Zima, I remember being in watering holes in Tuscaloosa as a student.
Yeah.
They would come in and give Zima away, trying to get people to drink it. It was like the old drug movies we watched in school, where the bad guy would come in and give people drugs to get them hooked. They were giving away Zima back then. We still didn't want it.
Remember they had to have like half naked girls come and give away
that
the
is
email.
Correct.
It was,
yes.
You know,
yes,
they
that
really,
is exactly
they were pretty
what happened.
Much almost naked, and you're still kind of like, I don't know if I want that. Yeah.
Right. So, but I just wanted to clarify that you are all in on the claws.
I'm all in. I'm all in. I had the white claw summer, Sean, and it's rolling on into the fall.
See, y'all read more about this in the new Land app. Also, talk to me about the cover and the cover story.
Well, we got a great cover story this week. It's really fascinating. You may remember the garbage barge from decades ago that was traveling around the United States trying to get rid of its garbage. Yeah. Huge pile of garbage, and the guy who did that is a Mobilian. He lives here, and it tells his story, and it actually was sort of the impetus for the recycling movement. And so it's a pretty fascinating story.
So wait a second. So the Mobilian physically owned the barge that had the garbage,
He was the guy who was having the garbage shipped all over. It was an attempt to create energy from the garbage, and he had a place to do it. And then by the time the garbage barge got there, people said no way. And so then he didn't know where to take it, so he just kind of bounced from state to state, and one state after another said, we're not taking that. And so it ended up going back up to New York. But it's a really good story. It's a fascinating story.
And I never knew that it had the mobile the mobile angle.
It did. At some point he ended up tying the garbage barge to a cypress tree in the Mississippi River for about 5 months.
We'll check that out. Checking out the new Land app. Talk to me about anything new on the Civic Center. Anything moving on that?
There's nothing. There's been nothing new this week on that. You know, we've heard nothing new on that front. You know, I think it's just still at the point where they've got to present the new plans, and everybody's got to talk about it some. But I don't think there's anything really shaking this week on anything new.
All right. So and we got then I'm sure we have some kind of resolution between the administration and the city council, right? And everybody knows who's got what responsibility, and everybody's
sure,
working
yeah.
together.
You know, I'm sure there's going to be it'll be a kumbaya moment. There's no doubt.
And this is a year, right? This goes on. I mean, as of November, we're a year of this.
We're into a year of fighting. We're into, yeah. You know, we're into a year of lawsuit. We're into, you know, basically almost 2 years of no council president.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's still some strange things going on over there, and there's still a lot of animosity and irritation. So, you know, as you and I constantly say, we need to go ahead and get this legal thing done. But I don't know when that's going to happen.
And Rob, did the Lanyap offices get many calls yesterday morning about that underground blown transformer? Did your office shake when that happened yesterday?
We did hear about it. We didn't shake or anything over here. Didn't knock any books off bookshelves, but we definitely heard about it. And you know, it was I think it was more of a TV story, Dalton. I think it was more interesting for that than to stand out there and talk about a loud noise.
I thought at that point, I mean, I didn't know what had happened back home. I was like, hey, I'm in Washington and stuff's blowing up back home. Okay, a couple other things here. Will you just leave Alabama Power alone, Rob? What is it with you, man?
I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, what
you don't. I mean, why don't you leave them alone? Why do you just constantly? You like you say, what Alabama Power still won't tell you. What is it with you, Holbert?
Well, I just think it's important that we're approaching the time here where they're going to do the water permits for burying 21 million tons of toxic waste in the Delta, and we still don't have any answers from Alabama Power on things like what are they going to do if these things continue to leak. They're already been fined for them leaking, so they are leaking. It is not something like if they leak, they are leaking. And the one that they have finished, they got fined for in May, so it's continuing to leak. But we still don't know, are they going to do anything about that after the fact, or are they just going to let them bury it and just leave it there and let it leak, and then, you know, hopefully cross our fingers it doesn't wash through one day and all wind up in the Delta.
Yeah, we've talked about this before, and I think this is a fair way to look at it. I would like to see the cost analysis of what what keeping it there and not moving it away from the water, not sealing it, having it leak, And what can happen environmentally, what that costs versus what it costs, I mean, real cost, what it costs to bring dozers in and dump trucks and move it away from the water. I mean, that would be, I think that's a fair thing to ask for. How big is that difference in price?
It would be a really good thing to know, but, you know, you're dealing with people who won't even tell you how much the rate increase they got this year is making for them. You know, they refuse to release that information.
Explain that to people, too, that the rate increase that was supposed to address this, that has already gone through.
Yes. Everybody here is paying higher utility bill, higher electricity bill, and has been since January, because the Public Service Commission gave them a rate increase to address the deal, this coal ash situation, to take care of the coal ash ponds. The Public Service Commission told us that number is somewhere around $200 million a year. The Alabama Power won't tell us what that number is. So we don't really know what it is. But they don't want to even talk about that, Sean. They don't answer simple questions that any reasonable person would have and to say, okay, you want to do this, tell us, here are the contingencies, the what ifs. What if this does this? What are you going to do about it? And they won't answer those questions. And you know, so now they have a big advertising campaign. They're buying ads everywhere saying it's safe and secure and it's sealed. And it, you know, that's just not really true. And they bought an ad in our paper, and I felt like, you know, okay, they're going to run an ad in our paper, but I'm still not going to just let that go and unchallenged. So I wrote about it.
Yeah, Rob, and I want to, I know we probably run to break here a little bit, but I want to, I think the first question is, what would the motivation for a utility to try to get money? I would understand a private company, right? If I'm paying, if it's a privately owned company or a corporation, and I'm going to pay stockholders. What's the motivation for a utility to try to do it the wrong way or the cheap way?
Because of stockholders, because there's money involved. It's, you know, that's another part of the problem, Sean, is that, you know, they are owned by the Southern Company. And so is Georgia Power. Georgia Power is doing it differently than we're doing it. We're the only state around here that's allowing them to just bury it. Everybody else is making them move most of it. You know, Georgia Power is not moving all of theirs, but they're moving most of them. And, you know, so, and most states have passed laws saying you have to excavate it, move it, a lot of them around here. But, you know, we're just, as usual in Alabama, I'll just throw some dirt on it, it'll be fine.
Well, I mean, this is the thing, and I don't think that, and some people try to say, well, this is some crazy leftist environmental policy. It's not saying, hey, let's not produce power. It's, but if there's something that can get in the water that would cause big harm, why don't we store it a long way from the water? We'll pick this up. Coming right back. More of Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5.
Thank you, Kane. 854 FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Sean Sullivan's live from Washington, D.C. at FAIR's 13th annual Hold Their Feet to the Fire conference, FAIR, Federation for American Immigration Reform. Sean, what are they talking about out there in Washington right now?
You know, that's a funny thing, Gabby, that we're here to talk about immigration policy, and they have really, the FAIR folks have put out a bunch of people from the political world. Also, it's neat. Sheriffs from down on the border. I have Peggy Davis, who is a rancher on the Arizona border. I mean, she and her husband's ranch is right on the border, and she's going to talk about some real world stuff. I think this is interesting. They're going to join us today in the midday show, talk about what it's like living there, watching just the flow of human beings that comes through their ranch. I mean, they got people sleeping in their barns, taking things. I mean, think about that. If you're trying to live your life, and then just every evening there are people drifting through, you know, your land and through your cattle ranch. It's her stories are really neat, when we'll talk to her about that. But you have all these things and politicos and everybody to talk about immigration. But come on, right down the street from here, they're pushing for, you know, the fourth time in our nation's history, pushing for the impeachment of a president. So that's taken up a lot of the, you know, political oxygen around here, as you imagine it would. So we'll combine those subjects coming up on the midday show today.
All right, and it is Thursday. Rob Holbert's on the line from Land Yap. You can pick up the latest edition. Where can they get those, Rob?
1,500 locations, Mobile and Baldwin counties. You can check us out online at landyapmobile.com as well. And you know, if you become a subscriber on landyapmobile.com, one of the things that think about is you're getting to read all those stories. You know, you're probably, there's another 10 or 12 stories a week that are on the Mobile side or on the Baldwin side that maybe you're not getting to read if you're just picking up the paper, not to mention all the breaking news all week long. So there's a lot there you're missing if you're not a subscriber. So we try to get folks to get in and subscribe and be educated, know what's going on in the community.
You know, to further the discussion, two discussions we're having here. Number one, I want to talk a little bit more about the fact that we have 2 years without a city council president and this ongoing lawsuit. But actually, before that, I want to kind of wrap up for now with this Alabama Power story. I think it's fair for folks to ask, and I don't expect it to come through the Public Service Commission, but to ask for an accounting of what does it cost to do that, to keep it right there and risk getting it in the water, and what does it cost to move it 10 miles to the west or wherever you could put it, so it's away from the water. I mean, I'm not trying to be some kind of anti Alabama Power. Let's not have electricity. Let's all have a drum circle and hacky sack. I'm saying, hey man, if it's on the edge of the river where we do get flooding and we have leaching of it going out, why can't we move that? It just I just want to see the numbers on that.
You know, Sean, something that always really surprises me about all this thing is just how gingerly everybody treats Alabama Power, and how, you know, we don't want to upset Alabama Power. You know, Alabama Power is a utility. We have no other choices. We had a rate increase at the beginning of this year. Did anybody even notice? That everybody, we're going to pay more, and our poor Alabama Power is going to have to pay money. The Public Service Commission guarantees them a profit every year. They are guaranteed profit. Most businesses don't have that guarantee. They can, we don't have a lot of recourse against things that they do. This is 50, 60 years worth of pollution that they put into the ground. They are leaking, have been leaking. You know, I don't know why everybody is so gentle with them about this. It's just, it's not really a liberal issue. It's not a, it's not one of those things. It's a liberal conservative issue. It's an issue of, do you want to have pollution in your community? Is it, do you want to have the Delta, which is a pristine, beautiful place that everybody can enjoy? Do you want to have it polluted? Do you want to have water, toxins leaching into it so that a corporation worth billions can make more billions?
There you go.
Rob, I don't know why that people get so wound up about it as if it is, some sort of attack on their cousin or something. It's a power company. They're going to make electricity. You're going to keep buying it, and at whatever rate they charge.
Well said. All right, we will pick this conversation up again next week, if not before. Rob, we appreciate it, man. Thanks.
All right, y'all have a great weekend. Have fun up there, Sean.
We'll do. Rob Holbrook joining us. And wrapping up here on Mobile Mornings, be back in 3 hours for Midday Mobile. Mike Gallagher on the way next. Dalton, take it away.